The Viridian Nutrition range of 200-plus award-winning products includes vitamins, minerals, herbs, nutritional oils, specialty supplements, tinctures, and balms, all formulated to be healthful, efficacious, and pure. By choosing our Viridian Nutrition range, you are one step closer to your goal of 100% wellness. Ethical vitamins with an organic heart. Available at all Browns outlets. Browns and you.
Welcome to the She Word, conversations that women rarely have but really should. Firstly, welcome to this live edition. This is absolutely amazing. We're here at the Mercury Towers to shine a light on one topic that potentially may affect you personally. And if it doesn't affect you, it's certainly going to affect someone that you care about. Across the world, breast cancer is the second leading cause of cancer death in women. Only lung cancer kills more women each year. The chance that any woman will die from breast cancer is about 1 in 40, about 2.5%, thankfully. Women in the US have a 1 in 8, or about 13% lifetime risk of getting breast cancer. This means for every 8 women in the US, one will be diagnosed with cancer, breast cancer, during their lifetime. In Malta, over 300 people are diagnosed with breast cancer every single year, making it the most common cancer on the Maltese islands. On the other hand, there is a good chance of recovery if it's detected at an early stage. And whilst the good news is that breast cancer death rates have been decreasing steadily since 1989, for an overall decline of 42% through to 2021, this is still a topic that I think very few of us really understand and know about. So we've got the opportunity to team up with the guys here to really make a difference with this show, because we want Pink October to be more than the pinkification of a woman-related issue. We want to have meaningful conversations. So on this live edition, I am thrilled to be hosting two amazing breast cancer survivors here to tell their stories, and one expert who's going to be guiding us on what to look for and what we can do. As I mentioned, this is also a live show, and so I'm really delighted that we have people here with us, and we'll be giving them the opportunity to ask questions at the end. So first of all, I want to introduce my guests. I'm so glad that you're all here. Thank you so much for taking the time. Lorinda Mamo joined us on the She Word in, I think it was season 2.
Yes.
On your powerful show, specifically relating to women and health. And you shared your story then about your breast cancer journey. You've also spoken at our live conference and also other editions of the She Word. We're so happy to have you here, Lorinda.
Having me.
So good to be sitting here with you again. Monica Schembri, hello.
Hello.
Hello. You are really somebody that I fangirl over because your story is just incredible. It's just absolutely amazing. You were on the show Separation and Divorce. Your journey related to a very painful breakup, but it also threw into the conversation that you are a breast cancer survivor, that you were dealing with that before you had your separation. So you already had that going on in your life as well. And you had a newborn baby and two other little ones. We have one of them here with us today. I'm really delighted about that. So I'm going to be talking to you about your journey as well. And I'm so glad that you're here. Thank you, Monica. It's always lovely to see you.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity to be here.
Well, Mariella Schmier as well is a breast cancer nurse navigator. What a title. I'm so glad that you can be here, Mariella. You are also a mum, and of course you are a woman. So you already share some good points with these ladies here as well. You've also worked at Sir Anthony Mamo Oncology Centre, which is an advocate and is an advocate for Pink October, Movember Malta. So you come to the topic both with an academic knowledge, but also lived experience, compassion. You have been dealing with women who are dealing with breast cancer.
Yes, exactly. Thank you for the invitation.
You are so, so welcome, and I'm so delighted that you're here. So before we start discussing this topic from any academic or from medical point of view, I really want to hear a little bit about these ladies' lived experience stories. As I said, it's so good to have you here. And I'm going to start. Monica, you look slightly nervous. You're sitting on a stage in front of people. But so I'm going to throw Lorinda under the bus first. Yes. And just say, Lorinda, you've shared your story so many times. Yes. But for this show, for our story for Pink October. Tell me exactly your journey with breast cancer.
So I think my journey is a bit different from other journeys because I was also dealing with my medically complex son. So it really took me, for a loop, I guess, because it was already something that we were going through hospitals and medications and treatments and doctors and everything. And then, you know, things were kind of, they looked like they were settling. And I literally just did this. And, you know, I felt like a cold sweat. And I said, nah, like, this isn't happening. You know, you kind of, there's like this feeling, you know. And I called my sister and she said, don't worry. She said, it could be hormones, it could be milk, it could be anything. And we'll just do an ultrasound because my sister's a doctor. So she said, let's just be on the safe side and schedule an ultrasound. And I went to the hospital and I hear the clicking of the heels. And I had already learned that when you hear those clicking, it's like, you know, the big one's coming. It's like, otherwise, you know, I could tell the nurse, her face was changing. And I was like, okay, this isn't good. And she comes in and she says, listen, she said, I don't like what I see at all. And she said, you need to do a biopsy. She said, I can either do it now or I can do it. You can schedule to come back. So my son was already at home with my husband because I said, you know, don't come because I just want to go quickly. Don't bring my son. Don't bring our son again to the hospital. And so she did the biopsy. I said, do it now because I really just want to know so I can get on with it. And she did the biopsy and she said, okay, you have to wait. And those were, I think, the hardest days just waiting for, you don't know what's going to happen. And then the result came out that I had grade 4 breast cancer.
Okay, so for anybody who doesn't know, which is me, Grade 4 is what?
It's very advanced.
Oh, wow.
So then they have to see how far they do the scans to see if it's traveled, how far it's traveled, if it's gone to any other organs. So then they start, because it's not, I mean, I learned as I was doing it as well, because it's not just, okay, breast cancer, take it out and that's it. They won't know if it's traveled. So I, in fact, had to get the cancer out of my breast and then the lymph removed from under my arm. And now I also have like a pit, like literally like a hole under my arm because they have to remove the lymph nodes so that it doesn't travel to the rest of your body because the lymph carries rest of your body.
Okay. So I got a couple of questions. Just I'm going to do this. I keep stopping because I know we're going to ask Marilla also about the lymph nodes and everything else and also about the journey of cancer. But coming back to your personal story, you literally, and I'm always curious about this, and this is one of the things that we're going to talk about, you literally put your hand under your arm.
It was,
and you
like,
felt
it. Yeah, I felt it like on the side of my breast. And then it ended up that there were actually more than one lump. It was the one more that was further in. But I was lucky. And they told me several times, you were lucky that you found it when you did.
Okay, so I'm going to continue being a little bit basic about this because I don't remember the last time I put my hand under my arm. I mean, it's not something that we normally do. And it's certainly something that we're going to be talking about today, for what we as women can do to be really proactive about breast cancer, because obviously the statistics show that it does affect us women and that this is something that we need to be looking at. But you would just happen to be, I don't know, putting your bra on or something like
that. I was holding my son and I had like an itch and I did that.
Oh, wow.
Okay. It wasn't intentional.
So you found out you had grade 4, which is very progressive breast cancer. And of course, and you've still got a young son at this time.
Yes.
And this is what we need to throw into this. It's not even like an easy day.
You've
just got a young son. And they tell you this, and they also tell you that it's spread to your lymph nodes, so this needs to be removed.
Yep.
Then what?
Then you have to do, I remember I had to do like this scan, I forgot the radioactive, she could tell.
That's good.
Yes, and you have to, like, they put this dye in and it's you're radioactive. Like, I found a lot of it really funny, really amusing, because they're like, you can't, if you go to the bathroom, You can't go to the bathroom near your child because your pee will be radioactive.
Oh my good grief.
I had to stay away from my son for like 24 hours because I was like, couldn't go anywhere near anyone pregnant. Yes. And I was like, oh, well, this is all new. And this is weird. And it's like, it's what you have to go through. So they, yeah, to do this scan, you become radioactive almost.
Wow.
So I was like, oh, I'm like Spider-Man.
So after this, after you've had this scan.
And then they, it starts, like the journey starts. Okay, so then they have to decide, do you do surgery? Do you do, where are they going to remove it? Or do you go to chemo? So they decided to do the surgery and then do chemo. When they started to do the chemo, they realized that my veins were really bad, so they wouldn't be able to do. And then I had to get Portacat in my chest, and it would literally just make the insertion of the chemo easy. So it's like a little plastic button inside, and then they just, and it goes straight to your artery, and they insert, they give you the, administer the catheter, the chemo through that.
All of it sounds incredibly frightening, and it sounds very scary. I'm going to ask you, did you also, obviously you went through your journey, and I'm kind of skipping a little bit. Did you have therapy? Did you actually talk to somebody about this? Because this is, you've just had a newborn, and you, this is terrifying.
I was still at Boffa when this was, a lot has changed, a lot has changed. Someone did call me to offer therapy. Unfortunately, the timings were really bad, and because I was taking care of my son, trying to manage him as well, so his care, and then it just never materialized.
Monica is nodding over there, and I'm going to come to Monica's story in just a second. But where are you at right now with your breast cancer journey?
So now I'm still on preventative medication, and I also in order to take the preventative medication, I am in induced menopause.
Okay.
So I get an implant every month inserted to be able to take the medication for.
And this is for how long, or this is indefinite?
Indefinite.
Wow. Okay. But everything with regards to the cancer.
Yes.
Thank God. I mean, I'm so pleased. And you're very, very outspoken about this. We're going to come to more of your story in a second, because I want to come to the human part of it, of course, which is how it affects you personally and how you go on to live with this. But Monica, you also are a mum, and this was very timely for you as well.
Yeah.
Because, correct me if I'm wrong, but you had a newborn.
No, I had two sons at the time, 2 years old and 4 years old. Myself, I was pretty young, I would say, 32 years old when I was diagnosed.
You were how old?
32.
You were 32. And I forgot to ask you, Lorraine, 38 and 32. I mean, this is in your 30s.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, obviously, I never imagined or what in my life, like, this is going to come to me. No family history, not even friends around. Like, I was not aware about the thing. Like, I just hear the thing, open October, you hear breast cancer. But, like, if it doesn't affect you, it doesn't affect anyone around you, like, don't think about it. So, it's very similar to Lorinda's story in a way. We have totally different breast cancers, but it was the same. Like, I never checked myself. And it was very intentionally one evening, as you said, like, I felt an itch, just kind of itched. And then I felt like a big bump, like a big lump. It wasn't like a little, but it was like, what's that? Like, it came out of nowhere, literally. Like, what's that? And then at that time, I was telling my husband, I said, I took his hand, I was like, feel it. I said, what is this? You know? And he was like, all right. I said, okay, that's weird. And I just left it at that. Next day, I was talking to my mom on the phone, and I was telling her, I said, this lump, you know, a bump. I said, it's better go in and check, you know? And she was like, yes, yes, go and check. And I made an appointment for ultrasound. And it felt on a day, on the same day when we had to go on holidays. So basically, we had to leave on holidays in the afternoon, and I had an appointment in the morning. And I was thinking to myself, because I didn't really look it seriously, to be honest, you know. I said, I'm just going to cancel it, you know. Because it was so busy that day. I said, oh, I have kids to get from school. I have to go with this and this and this. I said, I'm just going to, it's too much for the day. So I canceled it. I canceled it myself. It was 2021, July. It was still COVID times. So I canceled it myself, went on holidays, 2 weeks holidays, nice and all good. Came back, rang again to make an appointment, and they gave me in 2 weeks time, which was September. I said, okay, fine. At that time, actually, the hospital rescheduled appointment. They rang me and said, doctor is not available, can we reschedule it? I said, okay, fine. It got rescheduled to October. So my first ultrasound, I remember it was 8th of October, 2021, when I went to do it. And I will always gonna remember the day. I already knew it, I think so, in my heart. When she checked, she said, okay, we have to look at this more deeper. You need to go come for biopsy. But my heart is racing already.
Oh, wow.
She said, you have to come for biopsy. And I said, okay, when do we do that? She said, I'm going to do it next week on Mother Day. And the wording she said, this is what it caught me. She said, I think so, you waited long enough. And wow. This is where it clicked to me. I said, okay. Also, what she said to me, she said, listen, do you mind if you go and see, we have a surgeon at this time? Because in case you have to do something, you're already going to meet him. And I was like, yes, okay, so why not? Like, I'm already here, like, of course, instead of coming back in and out. And I had my kids and my husband at that time outside. It was COVID time, so he couldn't come in. I was actually on my own. So I rang them. I said, listen, guys, I need to go and see the surgeon. I'm going to come soon. When I went, it was Dr. Juice. When I went to his office, he actually asked me, he said, you alone? I said, no, my family is outside. And he told me, bring them in. And this is where my heart started racing. Tears started to come out.
I'm tearing up.
I was like, this is not happening. Like, but you always already know in your heart, like something is happening. And from that day on, basically said, okay, like we still have to wait. They didn't know it because we still have to wait for biopsy results to come, like around 1 week or so. But the big chance, and we have to tell you what might happen, listen, all the facts and what can happen, chemotherapy. And I'm like, okay, but it's like, it's okay, you still have to wait. As Lorinda said, that week of waiting, it's a torture. It's a torture. There's a lot of thoughts go through your head, but it passed. And when I got the results, yes, they confirmed they found cancerous cells. And the journey started. And the journey started very, very fast, actually.
So can I ask you, because again, there's a lot of things about these stories that I'm not aware of. Yours was stage 4. Was it a particular stage?
Mine was different. Mine is not hormonal cancer. Mine was triple negative breast cancer, which as well was grade 3, which is pretty aggressive. However, probably Miriam can tell me, triple negative, it's kind of already more aggressive kind of tumor. So has to come with like really, really straightforward, effective treatments, like aggressive treatments, because it travels pretty fast. So I think so. That's why maybe my lump, because I said, like, how come I never felt it? Like, it was just here. It's not somewhere under my arm. So no one said, how come I never felt it? It just came out of nowhere. Because I think so. It's already the type of cancer had, the tumor grows faster. So yeah, it was grade 3. And again, the doctors, a bit different aside from Lorinda's. I had to go through chemotherapy first to shrink the tumor because it was too big. So we had to shrink it with chemotherapy, then to have surgery removing lymph nodes, and then radiotherapy afterwards.
Wow. Well, I have a ton of questions, and I'm going to do what I always do on the She Word. I'm going to throw the script out right now. Were you talking of just really prompted me with a bunch of different questions. Do we have any other breast cancer survivors here?
Yes.
Can I just a round of applause for breast cancer survivors? I'm listening to these stories and I'm honestly, I'm getting choked up because I can hear how much this still means to you, that moment where you were told. But I want to start by asking Mariella, these ladies are talking about triple negative, grade 4, grade 3. I know nothing about any of this, but one thing that stuck in my mind, and I've thrown the script out, one of the things that stuck in my mind is that both of these ladies breached and felt a lump, which, you know, we kind of think, well, you know, wasn't it there before? How could you have missed something that important, something that big? I know that cervical cancer can take up to 10 years to develop. That's why we have a smear test every year. How fast is breast cancer? It sounds to me as if it's extremely aggressive, that one day you could be feeling and you see nothing, or one day that you brush and the next day Monica's going like this, or Lorinda's just going like this and feeling that she has a cancerous lump.
Yes, as they were saying, there are multiple types of breast cancer, so it depends on the, like, when you hear breast cancer, everyone thinks that is just one cancer, but it doesn't, no, it's not that way. We have mostly three types of breast cancer, which are the hormone positive breast cancer. That is the most common breast cancer, which usually affects women who are above the age of 50s and 60s and older people. So that is usually less aggressive because it usually comes with age. So that is quite different from the other cancers. Then there are another two types of cancer. One of them is the triple negative breast cancer, which is 10% of the whole breast cancers that exist. It is quite aggressive because when we're actually dealing with cancer, what we will be looking for are what we call receptors. Receptors are, we call them these like antenna on the cancer cell, which for us, it indicates what the cancer cell needs to grow. So in case of estrogen receptor positive, we know that the female hormone, the estrogen, is one of the like food that the cancer cell uses for that to grow. So we say that we actually know what we can give the cancer to stop the process. In triple negative breast cancer, we know that all these receptors are not there. So we know that the cancer cell grows by itself. So it replicates through cell division like all the other cells, healthy cells we have in our body. But in this case, the DNA will just change and the cancer cell will, during the cell division, which is the normal process of a cell, it multiplicates and it grows into a cancer. So yes, usually triple negative breast cancers are grade 3. So when they're mentioning grades, it's how fast does the cell grows. So we have from grade 3 to grade 1 to grade 1 to grade 3. The grade 1 are the slower cancers. Grade 2 is in the middle. Grade 3 is the fastest that it grows. So that's why Monica was saying that she actually never felt anything and all of a sudden she had this lump that she felt.
So we're talking about maybe weeks or a month, or I mean, how fast could that grow?
You can't know exactly, but usually sometimes it's just, at first it will be just a bit of a bump in the breast, which sometimes we have patients who actually see changes in the breast, like there can be redness in the breast, there can be nipple discharge, there can be sharp pains, but no, like if you have pain, that is alone is not enough. So usually you'll have pain associated with a lump, or you have nipple discharge, or you see a dimple in the breast. So then also it depends on the size of the breast, since if it's smaller, you're going to feel it easier. If it's a big breast, it will be much harder to feel because it can, like, to feel it, it will be much more difficult.
I have to tell you, I'm suddenly becoming very, very self-conscious. And I'm suddenly thinking we all need to go home and just check our best.
Yes.
Which, of course, is one of the reasons that we're doing this show, because we want to. But in the case of either of you, did you have any discharge or anything other than a little bit? You mentioned itchy. You mentioned there was a bit itchy.
Hello.
There you go.
No, I don't think so. No, now when I look back, I think so. It was like, I just kind of wanted to touch it. And then I realized it. But other than that, however, I don't know. Because I think so, in our routine, it's so busy. I have two small kids, you know, like, you don't think about the things. Yeah. If there is a little, I don't know, redness or something, it's like, whatever. Like, you don't pay attention to it. Like, there was stuff to do. There is life to go on, you know? Like, you don't pay attention.
I didn't feel a thing, which actually scared me even more. Because had I not, then...
I mean,
I felt it, you know?
I feel like this is the first time I've ever really sat down and had a conversation about this, because suddenly I'm learning things for a first time. I had no idea that there was more than one kind of breast cancer. And we have two, by a huge coincidence, we've got two beautiful ladies here that have experienced different kinds of breast cancer, which I'm really glad about, because thank you so much for explaining what that means. So you've discovered that you've got... coming back to you, Monica, you've discovered that you've got this breast cancer, is incredibly aggressive, that you've had that conversation with the surgeon who's basically told you, we've got to do something now.
Yeah.
Can I ask you, when you went home that evening and sat around the table and made dinner, what did you say?
To be honest, it's like a flashback. Like, when you pass the time... Like, I actually have to close my eyes and think about it, because, and everything happened so suddenly because they wanted to start the treatment very, very fast. So there was no time to think, like, okay, in 2 weeks' time, we want to start you on chemo. And what I was thinking, it was like, obviously, everything's like, everyone was supporting, don't worry, everything's going to be fine. First of all, we're going to see, like, is it spread or no? If it's not spread, it's fine, you know, like, even the doctors, chemo, you know, chemo will shrink it, like, think positively. At the back of my mind, I always, when I went back to bed, you know, my heart was racing. I had a cry. I was overthinking things, what can happen. But as a family, we said, you know, whatever happens, just let's keep the same routine and same things, like, so it doesn't really affect us. However, even my son, older son, he was 4 at the time, so kind of he, obviously, mommy is going to have some changes, you know. We had to ask, like, how am I going to tell him? Like, I want to tell him, you know, because obviously he's going to see some things. But, yeah, I mean...
Lorinda, can I ask you, because I'm unpacking exactly what these lived experiences are first before we come to what we can do. But Lorinda, when you went home and they've told you it's not just your breast, it's also your lymph node and we need to operate, how did you handle that? You were, had a newborn. How was that conversation?
I think, like, looking back, it for me, it was just really such a blur because of everything I was going through with my son. And it took me a long time to process. In fact, I think I never really processed it in the beginning because I was in fight mode because of him. So even in the year that I was going through cancer and the chemo, he had 5 surgeries. So it, for me, my journey was so all over because it was, I didn't have the time to process or focus on me. My pain was more because, okay, something's going to happen or now I have to go through all of this and he needs me and I want to be there for him, but I can't because I have to take care of myself. So, I don't know. I just remember there was like one incident where me and my husband hugged in the middle of my bedroom and I just cried and cried and cried. And he said, I know. And that was it. And then it was kind of not spoken about. And then you just kind of go through the motions. You go to the appointments. You go do the chemo. But I just ran through it because I had to be there for my son as well.
Because we're women and that's what we do, right? I'm sorry. I heard this. Mariela Demek said this right at the beginning of the She Word. She said, we're women and we just get on with it. And I'm just sitting here. I'm profoundly blown away by anybody, any woman who is a mother, let alone a mother with dealing with this as well. So a paramount respect to you. But you said something, Monica, that really stuck with me. You said that you never thought it would happen to you. And can I tell you, I'm sitting here with some amazing, beautiful women here. It's never even crossed my mind that I would be affected, me Trudy Kerr would be affected by breast cancer. I never even thought about it. And I'm going to be really honest right now and say, I've never checked my boobs. I have never done that. And I'm going to ask everyone here, gentlemen, bear with us. But ladies, is there anybody else here? I'm going to ask you to be a little tiny bit honest. But is there anybody else who's never checked their boobs? Anybody else never checked their boobs? Yeah, we've got some honest people over here. There's some honest people that are saying, I've never checked. It's never occurred to me to do that. We always think that it's going to happen to somebody else. And this was really impressed on me because when I looked at the statistics, certain factors, and I wanted to find out more about breast cancer, and I'm looking at you, Mariella, because I'm going to ask you for some input into this, but certain factors increase the risk of breast cancer, including increasing age. I am now 50. So I am actually eligible to start having screening, but I've never checked my breasts before. And these ladies were in their 30s when they were affected by these both types of breast cancer. Harmful use of alcohol, family history of breast cancer, history of radiation exposure, reproductive history such as an age that menstrual periods begin and the age at the first pregnancy, tobacco use, postmenopausal hormone therapy. Now, I actually am on HRT. I've spoken about it openly. And so I really should be taking more care and a little bit more mindful. But all of these elements, I'm looking at these two beautiful ladies. I mean, I don't know if you smoke or if you drink an awful lot of alcohol. These ladies, the two ladies sitting here and the ladies that we've seen here with us today, don't look like they are sort of listed on here. So I'm going to ask you, Mariella, do we know what really targets women for breast cancer? Is this, if we're listening to this, if we've got people listening to this and they can say, okay, that's me, I need to go and check that I've got breast cancer because I'm likely to get it. It doesn't seem to me that it correlates.
Not really. That is why we always speak about risk factors. There are risk factors which you cannot change, like genetics, you cannot change that, family history, you cannot change. Obviously, the start of your menstruation, you cannot change that, or pregnancies. I mean, we know that there are women who have issues to get pregnant, so you can't actually change that. But obviously, there are the risk factors which we can change, like the tobacco, the being very active, the diet that we take, the intake of alcohol. But obviously, it has to be, I mean, these factors doesn't only indicate that you're going to have breast cancer, because if you just list all the risk factors, these risk factors are also risk factors for cardiovascular diseases, for diabetes, for the majority of other comorbidities that are not good for our health. Like cancer, it's something that everyone is afraid of, but having cardiovascular diseases is commonest more than having cancer. So I think when we're speaking about risk factors and how our lifestyle should be, we have to be very mindful that it's not just affecting, it's wrong taking these because of cancer. It's because you need to be healthy in general, not just for cancer. Another risk factor that you cannot change is age. I mean, we all age, as you were saying, but there's nothing we can do to change that, or sex, being female or males. Males also are affected by breast cancer, which is, it's a very rare, it's 1% of all the breast cancers, but it happens. So yes, even males have to check their breasts, although they're not like the women breasts. So yes, what we suggest is the health promotion, which is what we do here, that we are on this trail, on these campaigns, like the Pink Movember, that we always tell people that the earliest that you actually know that you have cancer, it's better because the treatment will be much easier. The prognosis will be much better. Everything will be much better, you know. So checking your breast at least once a month should be done by every woman of every age. I have patients who are in their 20s who already have breast cancer. So there's no age which you can say you have to start checking your breast at this age. So yes, you need to know your breasts. When when a woman is still in her 20s, 30s, and sometimes even 40s, the breast is so dense that you can't feel all the small lumps that you can have. Or sometimes they think that it's a lump and it's not. So sometimes we have patients who prefer to do an ultrasound, for example. But below the age of 40, mammograms are not suggested because of the breast still being used for breastfeeding and due to childbearing age. But above the age of 40, we have women who prefer to do what we call opportunistic screen mammogram. They check with a mammogram every 1 to 2 years, especially if they had family history. So from 40 till 50, they'll do a mammogram. And then from 50 to 69, women who reside in our country are called for the screening mammogram. But one thing which is very, very important that we mention is that the letter arrives at your home. But if you don't write back and you send it back, you will not receive the appointment.
This is a really good point. And we're going to sort of come to the active that everybody can do and the things that we need to be doing ourselves. And we'll come to that in just a minute. But that's a really good point. You have to actually take responsibility and get involved. But I want to come back to these ladies. And I want to ask both of you, Monica and Lorinda, did you ever check your breasts? Did you check your boobs before?
No.
Okay, so you were in my camp.
Yeah.
You were not boob checkers.
No.
Okay, so, and you mentioned, Monica, it never occurred to you that this might happen to you. So I want to ask a really human question. When you got that diagnosis, were you not just a bit ticked off? Were you angry? Did you feel angry? Because I know you guys. You guys live healthy lifestyles. And Mary Lou has just been talking about the fact, you know, we've got to live healthy lifestyles. We've spoken about this before. Were you not sort of a little bit like, hey, why has this happened to me?
Yeah. I mean, one of the questions that they asked me was like the usual. Do you smoke? Do you drink? No. Were you ever on the pill? So that's another one. And I was, in fact, on the pill. So it's like, I was very angry, but I was taking the pill because of my hormones. So to regulate my menstrual cycle, I had to be on the pill because I was at risk for polycystic ovaries and all that other lovely female stuff that we go through. So they said it could have been one of the factors, you know?
Okay, so I'm going to stop there right there because this is really important. That we have so many young women, so many young ladies, and so many people watching the She Word who do take the contraceptive pill. The contraceptive pill is not just for convenience and so on and so forth. I took it for 15 years for endometriosis. Lorinda is saying that she took it for medical reasons as well. Does that increase the risk?
Studies indicated it doesn't increase the risk of having cancer. But if you're meant to have an estrogen positive cancer, it facilitates because you're actually giving it more of the hormone that it needs to grow. Like HRT, it works the same. But in fact, gynecologists prescribe it. I mean, it's not wrong by doing that. So that is one thing that we have to say, which is very important. I mean, there's no and contraindications of, but once we know that there is an ER-positive breast cancer, the first thing that we do is that we tell the patient to stop the pill or the HRT or the Mirena. So anything to do with estrogen has to be stopped. Even, for example, the use of facial creams or other tablets that they take or any creams that they use for their moisturizing body, which include estrogen, that has to stop.
So now I think I'm understanding the form of cancer that you had, which is related to estrogen. Estrogen are the markers
The receptors.
The receptors that the cancer was attracted to, the cancer was responding to. So in your case, it could have been because of the pill. It could have helped it. In the case of Monica, that's not the factor. I mean, Monica, when you got your diagnosis, I know that you're very active. I know because I follow you. Yeah, you always have been very active. Did you have that moment where you said, why me?
Yeah, of course. I was like, why me? Especially, I was like, why did I do in this world? You know, why? Like, why it's me? And interesting enough as well, like, because I didn't have any family history. But then after my treatments,
I was referred to do the genetic testing. And from the genetic testing, it showed that I had BCRA1, which is a triple negative mutation thing. So basically, whoever has that gene is has a higher risk to get this kind of cancer. But like, you would never know it because you wouldn't go and do a genetic testing out of nowhere, you know? So then it kind of made sense. I was like, okay, just because I have this gene, probably, you know, the cancer came up.
Perfect storm.
Obviously. But yes, anger is always was there, you know, like, why me? Like, yeah.
Listen, I remember something very, very clear that you said to me, Lorinda, when we had this conversation back in season two. We talked about other reasons, and I'm going to ask Marilyn for your thought from a medical point of view about this. We talked about, and Alison Kelly also said the same when she came on the show about grief, that she was going through a grief process, and she believed that her grief had been a contributing factor to her getting breast cancer. And I remember very clearly on the season two show, you mentioned that you were going through a great deal of challenges with Henry, your absolutely gorgeous son, and that you believe this might have been a factor to it.
I believe that because, and then like Monica, I also did the genetic testing, but I had nothing, and there was like nothing to predispose, and they said, no, there's, you know, no indication that this was in your genes or anything like that. So it gave me more of this kind of reason to feel that it was very much stress related. I believe that it is very stress related.
See, when you say stress related, suddenly that makes a bit of sense, because so many medical conditions can be expounded. It can be made worse from a stress related situation that you're living through. Am I right? Am I wrong, Mariella?
There's a face there. Mariella's like,
I don't think. From the medical point of view, I mean, we're more angry with because we have so many young patients who have been misdiagnosed because of the word stress. So they'll always tell them it's because you're stressed, you're feeling this, it can't be. So, I mean, stress can be the cause of many things. I think it's more of a psychological thing that you actually don't be much checking what you need, rather than like Lorinda was saying, she was focused on her son, which at that point in time, I mean, nothing would have come in her mind, like probably most of women will do. But it's not related to, I mean, that stress is going to cause cancer, you know, but it's this, I mean, being healthy mind in our mind, psychologically, it's like being healthy in our body as well, you know? So we're a bit, it's a bit
but,
difficult
but I
to...
I think for us women, I think most women agree, our lives are stressful.
Yes.
And then particularly, anybody got a